Welcome to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Over the next hour, you'll be introduced to business and local leaders impacting our community. Text your comments or questions directly to the studio at 540-371-5756. Now, the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
Mary Washington Admissions this morning. We're going to talk about all the things you need to know about getting your kids ready, or your grandkids, or whoever ready for college. From UMW, Melissa Yakubowski is here, the Dean of Admissions and the Associate Vice President, and Sarah Lindbergh is here, the Director of First Year Admissions. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. It's good to see you.
Good to have you both here. Sarah, if I'm a senior right now, or if I've just graduated, or I'm getting ready to graduate, you should be my best friend.
Yes, yes. Well, and hopefully if you've just graduated or getting ready to graduate from high school, we already have that relationship already.
I hope.
But if you're a rising high school senior right now, now's the time for us to really build that relationship. So those rising high school seniors, yes, it's the summer before you're senior of high school, but there's a lot that you can be doing to prepare you for your future after high school right now.
And that's what we're going to talk about, because we've talked about this before, Melissa, about how this is a great time while you're on summer vacation, use traveling around to check out a few places.
Absolutely. In fact, we are about to head out, our own family. I have a rising senior who's going to be your best friend.
Yes.
And so we are using some of our summer vacation to actually hit a few schools and experience them. It's a little bit of a different experience over the summertime. So just know that you're going in when there are fewer students on campus, and it might look a little bit different than a fall or a spring visit. But we know that this is a great time because your family can be available, you're on vacation, students don't have school to really worry about. They can maybe pack in a few and at different times, or plan them out throughout the summer and really spend some time exploring different kinds of campuses.
And you don't have to just be a rising high school senior. I have a niece and a nephew that are rising high school juniors, and my niece is coming back with me after our family beach vacation, and I have sent a text message on to her that I would like us to go to at least two college visits in the week that she's going to be with me. So we'll see what she chooses. But hopefully, well, I know Mary Washington will be one of them, because she's also participating in our summer enrichment program in July.
Absolutely.
I can't imagine that anyone who has an Aunt Melissa would, or an Aunt Sarah, rather, or an Aunt Melissa, too, doesn't get away with, start planning on this, probably even when you're in like eighth grade, you start hearing about it.
I too have a nephew who was here last fall. He did open house with us. And so I'm like, this is going to be one of your visits. Like, you have to see, you have to experience different sizes. So even if Mary Washington isn't at the top of your list, we are a small regional public. We're in a great location. And so you should come and experience what that feels like and try it on. See how the class sizes fit and feel. See how the campus layout, kind of intrigues you. And that way, students, even if it's not top of their list, get to begin to kind of narrow down what's important to them. Size and feel, whether they want something that is a little bit more personal, where professors are really going to get to know their names, or whether they want to be in a really large, institution that maybe has a little more anonymity for them. They can kind of hide out maybe in a really large class. Maybe they like that experience a little bit more, but making sure you try on different things, I think, is really important.
Yeah, and I would especially for our local students, yes, we know that sometimes Mary Washington isn't at the top of your list, but
you want to go far away.
We're low stakes, right? We're, a 20-minute maybe drive over to campus, a hour and a half to 2 hours on campus, and then, a quick grab for ice cream somewhere downtown or a snack or something, and then you get to go home, right? Like, it's not going to take your entire day to do a visit, especially if you're local, at Mary Washington, and then you can try on all those different things and weigh those pros and cons and say, okay, well, I've seen, a beautiful suburban park-like campus that's extremely green with lots of trees, but maybe I'm more of a city kid, right? Yeah. Or maybe I want to see something that's more in a city. So then you take that and you go to another school, and then you compare those and then go from there, right? pick your likes and dislikes, your pros and cons of, I like this, but I didn't like this. So let me see if I can find this one thing that I like and go and find it at another place.
I think the beauty in Virginia is that we are so fortunate to live in the Commonwealth where there are such a diversity of types of schools and locations, and sort of they all develop a profile based on their location and their mission, not unlike your students are going to have their profile of what they're looking for. And so even in our backyard, you've got the largest university in the Commonwealth just to our north, about 50 minutes on a good traffic day. You've got more urban city university, very large, to our south, just about an hour. And then you've got big flagships. You've got smaller regional schools. So really, you can go low cost. It's not a huge investment of time or money to go spend some time at a lot of different kinds of institutions just within an hour or two radius of the city of Fredericksburg.
And I think Melissa, what you said when you talked about, you know, don't get locked into a size. I mean, you both said just try them out. Don't go into it thinking, I've got to be at an SEC school, or have to, all these different things that you think. Once you actually start going, and when I went on a tour, one of the Mary Washington tours last summer, I mean, it was so informational, and the person who led it was so personable, and you could find out about your laundry and all kinds of things, and all of a sudden, when you start realizing this is where I'm gonna live and what I'm gonna do, look into those things. Don't get locked into a size.
Absolutely. I mean, I think it's really important to find a good fit for certainly your learning environment. Mm-hmm. You know, do you like small classes? Do you want your teachers to know your name? Do you want to have a mentor, a faculty mentor, who's going to be with you not just for your years of college, but beyond that, kind of as a resource to you even after you graduate? But you are also living there. I think a lot of students are maybe not necessarily putting that full piece into consideration right away. It's very focused on academics and do they have the major that I'm interested in? Again, those ideas can change too. So you want to have a little bit of flexibility and opportunity to sort of have options that are going to cover some different things as your interests are changing.
Right. And one of the biggest things, I think, is being able to picture yourself there. You know, can you see yourself potentially living in that residence hall? Or can you picture yourself eating in that dining hall or sitting in that classroom? Mm-hmm. What does that feel like to you, especially as you go and look at schools of varying sizes, right? Where, you know, all college campuses are going to take you into a classroom and show it to you and kind of say, this is, you know, what one of our average classrooms looks like. How does that feel to you? Are you a student that likes to be able to raise your hand and ask a question specifically during a discussion or a lecture? Or again, as Melissa mentioned, you want more of that anonymity as well. Yeah. And you know, send in maybe an email and not have that face-to-face conversation. I mean, it all kind of depends on what you want. But also be very open to what you think you want too.
Yep. Be flexible. Your list changes.
Yeah. It evolves.
Yeah. Things that you thought were really important at the beginning of your search sometimes drop down on the list, and other things, level up just as you begin to understand all of the opportunities that you are going to have when you get to college.
So use your summer vacation to start looking at these things.
It's a great time. It's a great time and relatively low pressure. Yeah. So, you know, there's not a, hopefully you don't have a ton of other competing priorities. I mean, certainly school is out. Mm-hmm. Try to get them in and you know, spread them out, take some time to digest when you go and visit. It's never too early. And some students, remember, your timeline is your timeline for college searching. So it's great to be able to start that early, but even if you're just getting started as a senior, there is still a window and runway that you have to explore a variety of options.
And if you're a parent who has maybe a rising junior or senior, but you also have a eighth grader and rising freshman, or take them with you, because I think that's another benefit to your younger child, is that they would have the opportunity to, you know, start to think about what they want. And we oftentimes hear that and like repeat families coming back and saying, you know, their older sibling came for a visit and now my younger one wants to come for a visit, or their sibling is here and they really want to look at it too. So we like to see that. And I think it's helpful for them. Being the third in my family, there weren't too many college trips that I got to go on other than really dropping my siblings off at college, but it did give me an experience of what those two schools were like, which were very different than a Mary Washington, which is what I wanted, was something different than their experience.
Yeah.
And so that's also good for other family members to see as well. And think about how you want to prepare in the summer. I think we know this summer, weather can be crazy, right? It's 70 degrees and rainy out today. And this weekend it was like 95. Be prepared for that. Bring an umbrella with you for those chance of storms or pop-up showers in the middle of the day. Mm-hmm. Bring definitely a reusable bottle of water. We will offer you water if you need some, but definitely come prepared with that. Wear your walking shoes. Don't wear anything, especially if it does end up raining, that may slip or things like that. I would probably aim for a sneaker. I'm trying to think of other things. We do try and keep you inside our buildings as much as possible in the summer too, knowing that it's super hot.
Sure.
So we'll walk between buildings and then we'll stop and gather inside for conversations. But make sure that when you are going on your campus tours that you're really prepared to walk around, to stay hydrated, and that we can't control the weather. I think that is one of the biggest things. Even the prettiest campuses can have rainy days.
Yeah, yeah. If you want to register to sign up for a summer tour, umw.edu/visit.
Yes.
To do that. We're going to talk more about this and much more this morning with Sarah Lindberg and Melissa Yakubowski from UMW on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
This is Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Download the all-new News Talk 1230 WFVA app for Apple and Android. Text your comments or questions directly to the studio at 540-371-5756. And now, here's your host, Ted Schubel.
All righty, good stuff with UMW admissions this morning. Sarah Lindberg and Melissa Yakubowski here to talk about it. One of the things when we talk about visiting, you talk about, you know, all the different things, Sarah, that, you know, that the college does, mm-hmm. to get ready and do. As a person, too, I guess it helps. You can probably tell students that have, the students that just roll in and just say, show me, or the students that have actually prepared. Preparing, and I say this knowing that I probably never did any of that. But preparing does in anything helps you. And if you've got some ideas, and like you say, you've got some things you want to ask or
right.
look at, or have some serious questions.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it does help in that preparation to definitely think about the things that are important to you, and either do your research beforehand or ask those questions. Like if you're doing your research beforehand and you can't find that information or answer to that question online, when you come to Mary Washington, we'd be happy to answer those questions for you. So if there are very specific things that you want to know about when it comes to either the academic or the co-curricular experience, or maybe the athletic experience, or the music programs, or the arts, and even, you know, if we don't know this specific answer because it's really in-depth about, you know, a specific major, we will find that answer for you before you leave campus so that you can feel
yeah.
like you've gotten all the answers and the information that you need. But, you know, we talk a lot about the college experience being this academic experience, but it's also, as Melissa said, where you're going to live. It's mm-hmm. where you're going to spend your time. So think about the things that you like to do outside of the classroom that are important to you. Is community service important to you, or leadership roles? Are those important to you? Mm-hmm. You know, being at a smaller school like a Mary Washington, especially if you like and thrive off of leadership opportunities, you're going to get a lot more of them at a smaller school than you are at a larger college or university, because there are just more opportunities for it, right? If you want to be a part of multiple clubs and organizations, you know, that is something that you can do, and you just may not invest all of your outside the classroom time into that one club. You spread the love, right? But think about what's important to you outside of the academic experience, because you're in the classroom quite a bit and you're studying quite a bit, but at the same time, you live there, you want to have fun. Think about also the town that surrounds the college mm-hmm. campus. That's also going to be important too. You know, Fredericksburg is a great little city here. It's not even a little city anymore. It's grown so much since I was a student at Mary Washington. There's so much to do in downtown Fredericksburg. And so we really encourage students and families to not only spend time on campus, but spend time in town. Right, because you're gonna be living in that town. You're gonna be going to those shops and restaurants and boutiques and everything like that. So, and down by the river, and what is there for you to do if you really enjoy the outdoors? You know, with the Virginia Outdoor Center and all of the different things we have in Fredericksburg and River Rock and everything, you can do a lot. And so, what is that important to you for your college or university to have access to those different types of activities?
I think, you know, preparing for it is great, but sometimes, particularly I think in the summer, you could think about college visits in the summer as sort of scouting missions. You know, you're scouting things. You're deciding, you know, and experiencing things, kind of building your own kind of list of priorities mm-hmm. as part of that. And so while doing the research in advance is great and fabulous, and we strongly encourage it, you can find so much on. I mean, when I was doing my college search, we didn't even have the web, right? So, like, websites didn't exist.
You would get brochures.
And you drove around with a book.
Yes, you compared.
Which was kind of nice. By the way, they still make the books if you want the book. but it's kind of good because it does compare apples to oranges. Apples to apples.
Yeah.
And so, you know, you can think about this as sort of your preliminary scouting mission and kind of where you want to dig in a little bit more. Couple of things to think about too. Remember that campuses, we tend to do a lot of work in the summertime when our students aren't there. And guess when our students aren't there is in the summertime.
Yes.
And when you are totally prepared to visit. So don't be afraid of construction projects or renovations that you might see going on if there are big holes or fences around things, because we are trying to do those kinds of things when it is least disruptive to our population. And so I also tend to think that construction is a sign of progress. And so it means that you are changing and growing and improving. And so I would, you know, while it is sometimes a nuisance, particularly if it continues into the main part of the year and they're doing loud things while you're trying to sleep as a student in your residence hall, it is generally a sign of progress, and that is good. So keep that in mind.
It's a healthy institution.
Absolutely. Yes. Additionally, though, this should be a preliminary visit. The summertime, because it's not the hub of what we're all doing, should just be thought of maybe as your scouting, your preliminary kind of, I want to keep this on my list, or I'm maybe looking for something different. And then also plan time to come back. Plan for an open house when you can kind of see a lot of people and a lot of things. You can see not only academic things, but you can engage with students and student life. You can read bulletin boards for all the activities that are happening. You can sit down on a bench and you can people watch and see if you see some of your people there mm-hmm. that you might, you know, connect with, and along with those activities on the bulletin board that are being promoted. But kind of think of this as sort of your preliminary scouting mission too in the summertime. I think that's a great way. And again, parents, be involved as you can, but students, if particularly if it's a regional visit, your students are pretty capable. If they're driving and they might be able to go and do some scouting on their own regionally, which is a great opportunity.
Absolutely.
Too.
Yeah. So if your parents are working during the week, but you have your license and you're good to go, come on, stop by on campus, bring a friend or two. Yeah. And we see a number of students that will do that first preliminary visit is a friend.
Close group.
Yeah, you know, a close group of friends that are just kind of coming through. And we talk about our location, and we are in a great spot because of being 50 miles south of D.C. and 50 miles north of Richmond. We're right off of I-95, and we know it can be unpredictable. Yesterday was pretty unpredictable on 95. Stop by. Even if you're like, I didn't schedule a visit to Mary Washington, but they're right here, and we're right here.
Drive through.
Stop by. Stop in our welcome center. Our admissions welcome center is open.
Somebody can handle you.
8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Monday through Friday. Yeah. And in the summer, you know, our student tour guides are eager to get out there and do a couple of different tours. We had a family that was running late yesterday because of the summer traffic. And came in, and our student tour guide, who wasn't even scheduled to tour, turned around. I was like, I'll take them out. I won't just catch them up. I'm going to take them on their own tour. So this family got their own personal tour from him. He wanted to go back out and really show them campus and give them that full experience. So that was really nice.
Well, when you were talking, Sarah, a second ago about, you know, if you want to get involved with clubs or, you know, your involvement at a Mary Washington, I've always thought that a small school in a Mary Washington is great with that kind of thing, because ultimately, when you're interviewing for a job, once you get that interview, they're looking at what you did. And
absolutely.
If you've done some things, and if you were just at a big school and you got your diploma from the big school, mm-hmm. but you've been at a Mary Washington and you have experience in everything,
right.
I look at, I'm looking at that as somebody who's hiring.
Yeah, absolutely. And many opportunities specifically to Mary Washington, you know, we have our Presidential Emerging Leaders Program, which looks great on a job application and resume. It shows that leadership opportunity and that development of leadership skills. If you're a student that enjoys more community service and civic engagement, our impact program is something that you definitely want to get involved in. But at smaller schools, it's easier to gain those leadership roles. And you also learn so many skills outside of the classroom that are also mm-hmm. going to help you prepare for that job. Most of my public speaking, while yes, I had speaking intensive classes at Mary Washington, actually came from my position as a student tour guide.
Sure.
Right? That's where I really went from speaking to families in groups of two to 75 on an open house day. We can get some pretty big groups, and it really teaches you those different skills of public speaking and things like that just from that one role, right? Whereas another role on campus, and, you know, again, speaking from my experience, I was a student athlete. Student athletes get a lot of different skills that they develop from their athletic experience, from leadership and teamwork and collaboration, right? So your co-curricular activities actually really build upon the resume that you need when you're leaving your institution as well.
Yeah.
I do think it's part of the value of a liberal arts and sciences education too, which gets a little bit of a bad rap at times, you know, but certainly the preparation for life after college at a school like a Mary Washington is really focused on building some core competencies. And that happens both outside of the classroom, just as Sarah was describing, and through leadership. I mean, I think that our student activities and engagement and just the different programs that we have allow students to build that up. But certainly the transformative experiences in the classroom, like research and our location to really allow students to intern in Washington, mm-hmm. intern in our local region, intern in Richmond, they have opportunities and options that are within a drive. They can take classes, they can intern at the same time. It really is kind of a wonderful balance. But I have to tell you, like, when I am taking my senior out to look at other colleges, because she's grown up at the Mary Washington campus and she would really like to go somewhere where Yakubowski is not a name that's known, and that's fine, because we're gonna make sure. I'm looking for things like a Mary Washington that it has.
Yeah.
And so, you know, she's very interested in business. So we are looking for AACSB accredited business colleges at these different institutions. I was pleased to find that they are focused, one of the colleges that she's interested in, a much larger university. She would like a bigger experience than Mary Washington, but they are still very focused on some of those same core competencies that Mary Washington is. And so I tend to look for some of those similar, you know, transformative kind of resume building, but experience building opportunities, so that I'm confident that she too is going to get a job when she finishes her college experience, not unlike our Mary Wash grad. So, So just wanted to throw that in. It's all, you look for it, then we start to look for it. We know what we're doing here, and so we start to look for those kind of pieces.
Yeah, and that's a good, I mean, that shows you that Mary Washington's on the right track.
We believe it.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. UMW.edu/visit to set something up, or like Sarah said, just show up. And someone will know what to do.
We will be there for you.
They won't freak out and wonder what to do. umw.edu/visit. More with Melissa Yakubowski and Sarah Lindberg from UMW Admissions this morning. More coming up on News Talk 1230 WFVA. It is now 8:31.
From the Fredericksburg.today online news studios, this is News Talk 1230 WFVA Fredericksburg, a Centennial Broadcasting Station focused on Fredericksburg. Welcome back to Town Talk on News Talk 1230. You can weigh in about today's topic on Facebook at WFVA 1230 and by text at 540-371-5756. Here's your host, Ted Schubel.
UMW Admissions this morning. Melissa Yakubowski is here, the Dean of Admissions and Associate Vice President. Sarah Lindberg is the Director of First Year Admissions. And we're talking about using your summer correctly. And in getting ready for all this. So applications at UMW August 1st?
Yep, you've got it right. Okay. August 1st. So seniors, there's still a little bit of time for you to start preparing. But I think one of the things that you can do even now before the application opens is to go ahead and start working on your personal statements. Some of you may have started doing that in junior English classes towards the end of the year, like after AP exams and everything like that. But starting to brainstorm different stories or things about your life that you want the admissions committee to know is a good thing to do this summer, right? And don't get discouraged if you sit there and say, well, my life has just been pretty average, right? That's actually a good thing that you haven't had tragedy or heartbreak or you know, trauma or anything like that. You know, I think there's still a lot of stories that can be told within the average a life of a student. There's still a lot of things that you experience and you overcome. But think about your personal statement as really one scene of a show or a movie and not a feature full-length picture. Okay?
Because you don't want to have to hear the full-length picture
right.
if you're on the committee.
Right. Well, I think what it's important to say, it's like, well, you don't want to be like, oh, I was born here and da-da-da-da, and now 17 years later, right? We don't want that full length. We want little like a snippet of something that was impactful to your life in middle school or high school or even early on in, you know, in your life, whether that's making a move to the state that you currently live in or making that big change. Those things can happen at any point in your life, but you want to look at it in a smaller focus and not the last 17 or 18 years.
We like details.
Yes.
I think details are a lot of fun and often really telling about your personality and how you think, what makes you tick. And so it is a finite number of words. Like you are kept to what, 500, 1,000?
650.
650. Exactly. So that is not your, you know, Huck Finn essay or, you know, a major motion.
A major picture. Motion picture.
It is a commercial almost.
Yeah.
Think of it as a commercial.
About
you. And I think that I love the things that are kind of slice of lifey, like just looking at what you do on an average day, you know, how you go about your life is kind of sometimes even most interesting, especially when you start to analyze it. Like, I always have a song running through my head, so I tie music to everything. So when I start to talk about how music is kind of, I have a soundtrack going, I might delve into that, and that could be telling about me. But I don't know. What are some of your favorite essays?
I have a few. Yeah. So there's one a couple of years ago that I actually reviewed for a student after working with him doing an essay presentation. And unfortunately, it wasn't even an essay to Mary Washington. But he sent me his essay and asked me to review it. And it was about how he could tie together the TV series Planet Earth to his childhood and how that is like a core memory for him. And even how like his mom recorded it for him so that he could watch it on demand whenever he wanted.
Yeah.
And he remembered that, like, after the scene where the shark eats the seal, that it went into X, Y, and Z commercial, and he knew the jingle for the commercial and everything like that. But he also really remembered it as a time that he would sit down and spend time with his mom. Like, it was their bonding time. Mm. Like, it was their one-on-one time, and how impactful that was. But then also how that interest in that show and how much he loved it really has driven his interest in earth and environmental sciences.
So,
yeah. And wow. I know, and I can think of, I can see it on your head, your wheels turning about some of your favorite essays.
One of my favorites started out, it was from a female student who attended a private school, and she basically was like, okay, let's analyze what I bring to the table for you. And she started it with, what do I bring to the table? I bring white bread.
And I knew that was what you were thinking about. Like, I was looking at you and I could read it on you.
and basically, you know, she talks about how she, you know, she's kind of vanilla. Like, she describes herself as pretty basic and average. And but then she starts to really dig into how she fits into her community and how this community is a wildly diverse kind of group of students that represent all different kinds of abilities and strengths, and how she fits into that, talking about her own strengths and abilities, and maybe even I don't know. She had red hair, and so she was like, "What I am what they say, you know. Redheads are fiery and saucy, and I am that, you know." She was the lone girl in a family of boys who had to hold her own, and so it was really interesting how she saw herself within her communities and how she was a part of that, and that's how she really related it back in her essay. And it was really just good. Yeah, like we could see her day. Like, she was sparking this visual of going through her day.
Yeah,
it was really
and,
a lot of fun.
And visuals through your storytelling in that personal statement, I think, is pretty important for us being able to see and picture it through the words that you're using is something that always really encourage students to do when they're writing their essays. And I also encourage you to look at the different common application prompts. There's six of them. The sixth one is a topic of your choice. So you can really write on anything, right? But take some time over the summer to go through the different prompts. They're already out and available, not behind any created login or anything like that. You can just Google 2025, 2026, common application essay topics, and they will come up for the personal statement. And I encourage you to brainstorm different parts and pieces of your life. Like, how would you write to each one of these topics, right? What story would you tell within each of these? And while you're only ultimately going to choose one for your personal statement, having that different bank of essays can definitely help you if a school, say, like Mary Washington, and you want to apply to our honors program, how might you be able to use something that you've already brainstormed a little bit to then apply to our prompt for our honors application?
That's a good idea.
Or scholarship applications, right? Scholarship applications for you guys won't be available quite yet, but there are ones out there that are going to require essays, and you will already have this bank of ideas, bank of stories that you can then tie to the topic. The biggest thing being is that making sure that you are following the prompt and answering the prompt if it has a specific question and tying it back to yourself, right? Like, I read a lot of times, there's an option for someone who has had the most impact on you in your life. So I read a lot of essays about great grandparents. Grandparents are great, but I'm not admitting your grandparent. I'm admitting you. And so you need to tie it back to yourself, right? So grandparents are great and their impact on you is great, but how has their impact, what has that been on you, and not just their story of struggle or success or whatever it might be, but what has that shown you and encouraged you to do, right? What has that impact been? Focus more on that impact piece as opposed to telling their story that then is going to be impactful to you.
How has it changed you, I think, is really the most important thing. We also get a lot of travel logs. That's what I would call them.
A travel vlog.
Like they're talking about how they had these great, like, amazing experiences doing different things. Maybe they traveled. Maybe it's been a summer internship or a job or something like that. But you always need to bring it back to how did it change you? How did you grow from it? And those are kind of things that we want to hear. You can also start your Common App account right now. So you don't have to just look up the account, the prompts. You can actually create your Common Application online account. And for those of you who are juniors, you can start it now and kind of start to add colleges to your list and see what that's all about. So scout out that process. It won't open until August 1st. You won't be able to actually hit submit on anything until then.
Yep.
But certainly get a head start looking at what that's all about and begin to kind of understand the information and pieces to the application process that you're going to want to.
And I know I keep mentioning the Common App. So the Common App, I should explain, is more of a universal application. And there are over 1,000 colleges and universities in the country, in the U.S., that are members of the Common Application. So for students, really for you, it's an opportunity to record your demographic and your high school information one time, write one personal statement, and then answer questions to those specific colleges when you've added them to your Common App. So ultimately, if you're applying to multiple schools that use the Common Application, it is going to save you some time to go ahead and use that as your application resource. Many schools will have like the Common Application and then their own school application, and it's an either or situation.
I guess the other important thing is don't overshare. If you do have things, you can talk about that if it comes up, but don't overshare.
Don't overshare. Remember your audience.
Yeah.
Right. Remember your audience. And if you're not comfortable having your parent or guardian or English teacher read your essay, then it's probably not a topic that you should be sharing with the admissions committee. That is always my advice. Don't sit there and get locked in on, I have to write very specifically, like, I need to make sure that they're going to like it. We read thousands of essays, right? So some of us have different likes. My friend and I always say, like, I love dogs. Love dogs. She really loves cats. So if it's a dog essay, I'm going to love it. If it's cat essay, she's going to love it. But at the same time, I can understand, respect, and get what I need to get out of a cat essay. But then I may take that cat essay to her and be like, hey, look, it's about a cat, right? Or she will find a dog one and share it with me, right? So just know that you're not going to be able to, like, be able to curate your essay exactly to the person that is reading it, right? So don't get stuck on that.
Correct.
Good idea to have someone, you mentioned, you know, reading someone else's. Have a parent or a friend or somebody kind of give you some feedback.
Absolutely. Someone who is going to be honest with you is always key, right? You know, I know sometimes as parents and supporters, we really want to make sure we're championing our students, but we need to be honest and give honest feedback. So if you're a parent who everything your student does is wonderful and amazing, you might not be the right person to read that essay, because they need to be able to get that constructive feedback to be able to make edits and adjustments to their essay. We also don't want students to over-edit their essay and lose their voice, right? This is your voice. This is your story. So make sure that you're not taking it to a parent and then maybe an aunt and then maybe your English teacher and then taking everybody's feedback in, because eventually by the time you get it back, it's not going to be anything that you've written, because everybody's going to have different feedback pieces. And you'll lose your voice.
Again, umw.edu/visit to visit Mary Washington this summer. And good stuff this morning with Sarah Lindberg and Melissa Yakubowski with UMW Admissions. Take a quick break. Come back. We'll conclude this morning by talking about what to look at for affordability at colleges. We'll do that when we return on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
This is Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Hear the show anytime by subscribing to the Town Talk podcast on your favorite podcast platform. And now, here's your host, Ted Schubel.
Sarah Lindberg and Melissa Yakubowski in this morning from University of Mary Washington and admissions. You talk, Sarah, about scholarships and things. Money's always in on a parent's mind.
Absolutely.
At least. But there are things. I mean, I learned with our first one. I mean, we freaked out.
Right.
And the admissions people had to just calm us down and explain things.
Yes. So a couple of different things to start. You know, what you see on a website or financial aid website that says cost of attendance, that first and foremost is a sticker price, right? So think of it very much that way. There are some tools that you can utilize, like a net price calculator. Every college or university will have one on their website. And you can put in your financial information to get an idea of what your costs will ultimately end up being as part of your student experience. But one thing not to let go by the wayside is scholarship opportunities. At Mary Washington, we actually review students for merit scholarships in the application process. So whether you're applying to UMW with or without test scores, we will review you for that merit scholarship. And if you are awarded one, you will be notified at the point of admission. And those scholarships range between about $500 and $9,000 per year. And they're based on your academic successes in high school or from high school. Other scholarship opportunities and things, resources and places to go. Our financial aid website definitely has two different sites that they really lean on that for scholarship searching. They are legitimate. It's scholarships.com and fastweb.com are two good scholarship researching websites. But utilize your school counseling office, especially if you have a college and career counselor. Someone in that school counseling office will typically carry a database of scholarships that are here to our local area as well. Think about different community organizations. Are you a part? Do you have a faith home? They sometimes have a scholarship or two. If you are someone who is a member of an Eagles or a Lions Den or something like that, those communities typically carry small scholarships. And even those $500 scholarships, they stack up, right? So every little bit helps as part of that. But scholarships, for the most part, for rising seniors, those are going to start coming available, I would probably say, somewhere between November and January is when those applications are going to start opening up. But do your research, because financing college is a whole other step in the college process now that may be different, parents, from what you experienced, right?
Yeah.
Because costs are different. So making sure that students are dedicating some of their time to applying to those different scholarships is going to be important, and not to rely just on the college or university that you're applying to you know, provide you all the financing that you need. Filling out the FAFSA form, the free application for federal student aid, will be very important. That is slated to open October 1st this coming year. So making sure that you're doing that as well. And then in Virginia, if you have someone who, a student that's younger, if you're listening to us with maybe an elementary school student, it's not too late to start a 529 plan as well.
I think I would add that employers often have scholarships for students, whether that is the parent's employer. They often will help support and offer some opportunities, but students themselves, if they have jobs in our community, I know that Wegmans has given
They're a big
out.
One, they, yeah.
Wegmans is a really good one. So I've been at scholarship ceremonies and seen them give out some money. So so check with your employers, both parents and students. The FAFSA is much improved. I mean, it's gone through some transitions over the past couple of years. We hope that it's going to open on October 1st. Do not immediately go fill it out on October 1st, because they will. There's always a few kinks in every cycle, and so give it a couple weeks. In general, colleges and universities are not putting together need-based financial aid packages until a little bit later in the cycle. Mm-hmm. So we may be able to estimate based on some information that you provide, not unlike a net price calculator does online for you. But I would say that the majority of true packaging really begins in December, because colleges and universities also have to receive information from the federal government. We have to update our systems to be able to package it appropriately. So, but we at Mary Washington really like to start that process. And then as soon as you are offered admission, within about 2 weeks, generally our need-based financial aid packages roll out to talk about what state aid you may be given, which is free to you, what federal aid, if you qualify for a Pell Grant, for example, for need, and then perhaps loans. Loans are part of a financial aid package. So that is the way that it kind of is. You can accept them or not, but that is part of how we are helping students afford college on a pretty regular basis.
And I would say those federal loans definitely are ones that have different repayment programs for them. If you go into certain careers, there are different forgiveness programs for them. And they depending, you know, you won't start paying on them until after you graduate. So they are, if you're going to look at some loans, which is part of the world we live in today, those federal ones are the best ones to start with.
Before I get about 30 seconds, enhanced summer visits at UMW this summer.
Yes. Friday, July 11th and Monday, July 21st. Come for an enhanced summer visit where not only will you get an information session and a campus tour, but you'll also be able to attend a session with one of our three colleges with the university.
UMW.edu/visit.
Absolutely. Come on down.
So much more to talk about. We could go on and on. This is great stuff. Melissa Yakubowski, Sarah Lindberg, thank you so much. We'll talk again. I don't want to talk about the fall, but we'll get in with all that. But great summer information here. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
We'll see you soon.
That's it. Thank you for listening. We will see you in the morning.
Thanks for listening to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. The views expressed by the host and guests on this program are their own and not necessarily those of this station, its management, or Centennial Broadcasting. Hear the show anytime by subscribing to the Town Talk podcast on your favorite podcast platform. The Glenn Beck Program is next on News Talk 1230 WFVA, focused on Fredericksburg.